ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sports coverage of the NRL Premiership.
NRL Saturday.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Last night, I thought the Bulldogs were the softest I've seen them.
Yeah.
I thought they were horrible, personally. And I still think that try down the sideline summed the Bulldogs up last night. Just lazy. Just switching off, and at time you can't switch off. When was it Braden Burns went down that short side over, might have been Sherry and someone else.
Oh, late in the game, yes.
That I haven't seen a try like that in first grade for a long time.
Sherry got burned a lot last night, and he had the young winger to his outside, Jonathan Sewer. But Canterbury, I mean, you talk about their defence there, Louis. What really worries me about Canterbury is their attack, because they don't have any.
No, I feel like the game. See, last year their game was backed. Was off the bait, the back of really good kick chase and defence.
Yep.
Their first three three tackles, they'd rush you back towards your own in goal. They attack with their defence, but because the game has changed so quickly with the set restarts and the way that the fast play the balls are going, that's why I feel like the Bulldogs are going backwards at a really quick rate. I don't feel like their attack is there to keep up with the way the game's playing. You look at all the good sides at the moment; their attack is. It's all about fitness, playing over an advantage line, playing flat and fast. Their little guys are stepping up. So, I just feel like the Bulldogs, the game's just sort of gone past them at a really quick rate of knots.
And I think you can cut and paste what Louis said and apply it to the Sharks. I think it's very similar foundations in terms of being a defence-orientated side. And now defence is so fragile because of the speed of the game. They don't have the attack to go with some of the elite sides, and I've got grave concern about Canterbury. I had concerns about their spine heading into the competition, and there's been nothing I've seen except for a really good performance against Penrith, who Penrith were horrific that day, that to suggest otherwise. Like, Connor Tracy, as a fullback, plays on the right-hand side of the field when they're attacking. I know sometimes Stephen Crichton plays both sides, right? And they interchange that Stephen Crichton, you know, usually it was playing on the right, will pop up on the left-hand side, but there were plenty of occasions where Stephen Crichton and Connor Tracy were just fixed on that right-hand side of the field and they just never went there.
I've got so many questions about Canterbury from the top down. I really do. Like, they've signed Adam O'Brien this year as the attack coach after Newcastle had the worst attack you've ever seen for the last few years. I don't get that.
In saying that, though, too, Andrew, so did Blake Green was their Knights attack coach last night, yesterday, and they looked pretty good.
Yeah, I know, but when it goes bad, it's highlighted, I suppose, and for things that you point out, like where Connor Tracy's bobbing up. Leo Thompson was their only real signing of note. Don't judge him on one game, but he had a shocker last
night. You know what? It was like,
I reckon they've mishandled this situation where they were in a really good position middle of last year.
Leo Thompson made some really poor handling errors, but he was their spark in that second half. He undid a lot of his good work with his poor hands, but they didn't have much. Satili Tupanua in the first half changed the momentum, and I thought Leo Thompson in the second half did for him, except Leo's hands just let him down at crucial stages yesterday. But yeah, their roster is, they overachieved last year, and as Louis said, the pace of the game and the changing style of the game hasn't helped them, or it's hindered them, and their attack hasn't evolved, and this is why they're in a situation where they may not even play finals this year.
Well, there is that. But you've also got a coach who outsmarted himself by making changes, disrupting what was working for the team, and it absolutely stunk the joint up. They didn't win a finals game again despite being in the top four, and this year their attack is really, really ordinary. So there's got to be some accountability for the decision makers.
Yeah, but I'm looking, who are the people that left there again last year? Reed Marnie?
Reed Marnie and Toby Sexton were the two big ones.
I was trying to think now, looking at the game, if those two players are going to make much of a difference on the way the game's played today.
I just don't think the Galvin Burton situation works.
No, it's not working.
It doesn't work.
No, I agree with that.
That's probably... is Toby Sexton the answer? Probably not, right? But the Galvin Burton combination does not work. It's proven now.
But my only point is, last year,
I get what you're
they
saying.
Were winning,
yeah,
with those two
saying.
There.
Yeah.
And there was change made for change's sake, and it did not work.
Rugby League is on your radio.
NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
The Dolphins defeated Melbourne 28-10 and they scored tries in a hurry towards the end of the game. And Jack Bostock, a welcome return for the Dolphins, he scored a double.
He's nine from halfway when stopped. Plays it to Plath. Dummy half scoop. Line break. Up to the fullback. 30 out. Faolongo drags him down one on one. Great run, Plath. He's 25 out. Ball played quickly. Given by Flegler to the right. Infield runs Bostock running laterally. Bostock finds a hole. And Bostock on return from a knee reconstruction. Scores a try to put the Finns in front. Through Katoa's hands, onto Knowles. Knowles with a straightener on five, a dozen out, centre field. Coup de grace imminent here for the Finns. Katoa chips again for Bostock's side. Bostock catches, Bostock scores. Finns will win. The Dolphins and they're returning number 22. He gets two.
At halftime, it was 10-4 to the Melbourne Storm. And they had led 10 points to nil. Cobbo scored before halftime, and then in a 20-minute period, Jermaine Asako scored. You had those two tries from Jack Bostock, and 5 minutes later, Kulakefu Finifuiaki scored a try, and the Dolphins won quite comfortably in the end, 28 points to 10. ABC Player of the Year points from Billy Moore, 3 to the returning Jack Bostock, 2 to Finifuiaki, and 1 point to Dolphins hooker Max Plath, who has returned this year from injuries of his own. He joined us on the line. G'day, Max. How are you doing?
G'day. How you going? Thanks for having me on.
No, our pleasure, Max, and it's great to see you back playing footy. Great to see Jack back. To get some guys coming back from longish-term injuries must be a tremendous boost, as it's been the case all year for the Dolphins when you look at the likes of Gilbert and Flegler, etc.
Yeah, exactly right. Still waiting on Jeremy Marshall-King too, but back to Jack. He's been great. I'd had probably 4 months of rehab with him, both on our ACL, so it was good to get some work done with him. He works really hard, so I'm really happy for him.
You are a team, Max, this year that coming into the season had great expectation about you, and it hasn't really gone according to plan. You sit in 10th position, just your third win of the year last night. Is that last 20 minutes against Melbourne last night, do you think that could well be a catalyst to more consistent improved showings?
Mate, I think that Penrith game was a catalyst for us to find our style and what works for us. It's just the last two weeks beforehand just didn't really pan out in terms of wins, but I thought we've really turned a corner. Our goal line defense has been huge, and we're working really hard for each other. The penalties and errors that we're doing at the moment isn't helping us, but we're working on that as well.
You mentioned you guys are still without Jeremy Marshall-King, but Jack Bostock back last night, mate. How about his performance?
Yeah, he's good. He's a freak, isn't he? He gets up high and he's a great kick target, but it's just his energy to play with too, mate. He's a real good fellow, and I think he's ADHD as well, so he goes a bit bananas and it gets us all up. So it's good to have him back.
What about your own form? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you missed large chunk of last season through injury. You're back. Pre-season was Origin a potential goal of yours? We're not far away from that now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always been a dream of mine to play State of Origin. I've just been playing hooker and learning my craft there, waiting for Jeremy to come back. But, mate, I've learned a lot in these eight or so games, and I feel like I'm getting more and more comfortable there every week.
Max, talk me through the preparation against the Melbourne side at the moment. They've been down, obviously, on confidence, the way that they're playing. Is it the same sort of preparation that you would go through as if you're going against a Melbourne side who obviously have been braining it?
Exactly right. It's a funny one for them. Obviously, that's unfamiliar territory for them to be on the losing end so often. But, with the tragic news of how Craig is going at the moment, we knew that they'd be really up for this game. And, I thought we met them well with our physicality and the scoreline doesn't reflect how tight the game was. That last 15 minutes is when it blew out. So we really had to earn that win. And, that's been said, they were missing Jerome Hughes and Wishy went down early. So they were there and they showed up to win. And I think that's a good win from us.
Mate, talk me through, I suppose, what Christian Wolf's like as a coach. Because we haven't got to see much of him as a outsider looking in. What's he like as a coach?
He's consistent, mate. He knows what he wants and he doesn't waver away and doesn't get too emotional. It's a bit of a roller coaster, as you'd know, playing footy. And he's real steady, which helps us as a playing group. It's more so just that process as a team, getting that sorted out. And I think we've been on the right track the last month.
We watched the Sua Faolongo and Hamasota Tabuai Fido go out at last night. Two excitement machines. Have you seen any faster players on the field than those two?
Oh, I know. A freak. Still had a cracking game too. Just had some really big plays that could have gone either way. So credit to him. He's been playing out of his skin. So likewise for Hammer, he's been really good for us. He's one of the best supporting fullbacks in the competition, if not the best. So he's been doing really well.
Max, we've just been discussing the signings and what's happening with the PNG Chiefs and their tax-free money that they can offer and the advantage that that gives them ahead of teams like the Perth Bears, for example. Is that a talking point amongst the playing group with what's happening over there?
It is, mate. I think they've absolutely nailed it with their recent sign of Jerome Luai. He's a winner. And I think that's probably the biggest question mark hanging over that club if they were going to be successful. Now that's probably been answered in the sense of they've got he'll attract some good players. I think it's a huge benefit for the club to have, you know, that tax-free salary cap, and it entices the players now to want to go over there and play with someone like him. So it's credit to that club as well for making a big signing like that. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out.
What's your contract situation, Max?
No, I'm at Redcliffe until 2028, so
until okay. Well, that timing's not too bad. Max, so good to talk to you. Great to see you back. 50-odd tackles last night, and just a reminder, not that we needed one, of what a quality footballer you are. And it's great to see the Dolphins back winning. So keep up that great form and enjoy the rest of the year, Max. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Dolphins hooker for the moment, Max Plath. He can play back row. He's a really good football player, isn't he?
I had to do my Origin team for work on and during the week. I've got him on the extended bench.
Right.
Because of you've got Harry Grant as your nine, who you think you can play 80 minutes, and then probably Kalen Ponga as that bench utility for the outside backs, or someone that can feel like play anywhere in that back line. So I had Max Plath in there.
He's good enough. It'd just be great to see him fit.
He looked good out of dummy half last night.
Yeah.
His running game up the middle of the field was damaging to the Melbourne Storm defence. So he wouldn't look out of place, definitely. But it just depends on how they play him. But I'm with you. I think they're going to have another hooker on the bench. With the watching the game, the way the game's unfolding this year, and obviously talking about, you know, the game used to be about defence, now it's all about attack.
Well, they've had Harry Grant and Ben Hunt there together in recent years. So it'd be in keeping with that.
Yeah, but I just feel like that it's gone to another level, though.
Right.
Like, I reckon the speed of Origin this year is going to be outrageous.
It's going to be crazy. Like, obviously,
I reckon it's going to be outrageous, seriously.
ABC Sports coverage of NRL Saturday.
Rugby League is on your radio. ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Can't touch this.
Time to find out all the latest rugby league news
and speculation.
Here's Michael Carayannis with MC's
Hammer Time.
Well, Michael, I'm sure this is going to be worth the wait. What are you leading with tonight?
Bit of injury news regarding Manly Seagulls. Jamal Fogarty won't play tomorrow. Joey Walsh will get his start, obviously, against Nathan Cleary. So that's a big ask for the youngster, who's been highly spoken about, highly touted, but gets an opportunity to start in the halves for the Seagulls tomorrow.
So that's a groin injury from last week for Fogarty?
Yep.
Yeah, because Gibbsy spoke. He was interviewing someone else after the game, and Fogarty walked past, and Gibbsy asked him how he's doing because he was very worried about him during the game. And Fogarty said, "No, I'm sweet, just some old man issues, but he's out." So that is a big loss. Okay.
Speaking of out, Jake Turpin, remember late in yesterday's game, had that arm injury and then stood on the sideline because they couldn't replace him because they'd used all their players. But with the back of Kurt Mann going to miss next week for a HIA, Jake Turpin would have started for the Bulldogs next week, but he's got a ruptured bicep, so he's gone for an extended period. Stephen Crichton as well had that ankle complaint, and it's a little bit of a concern for the Bulldogs. He woke up really sore this morning. They'll have to keep him off his feet for an extended period next week, so I'd say he's in a little bit of doubt for next week's game as well.
Yeah, that's a body blow, because they look like a team in trouble at the moment, Canterbury, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and there's some suggestion around Stephen Crichton's position and trying to get him more involved. You move him to fullback. Well, he's not going to do it this week if he's not being able to train that much.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And Daniel Safidi, there's obviously been some suggestion around his future with that shoulder injury. Expect an announcement next week. I think Daniel Safidi's played his last game.
Excellent. All right. Thanks very much, Michael, for MC's Hammer Time. That was excellent. Don't look over at my phone.
Do you love rugby league? NRL Saturday on ABC Sport.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio.
And ABC Listen.
Here with Michael Carayannis, Luke Lewis, I'm Andrew Moore. And the Cowboys, as we've discussed, very good winners over Canterbury Bankstown last night, 28 points to 10 in the end at Stadium Australia. And we're saying in the pre-game show, there were star-studded centres on display. Jackson Purdue for the Cowboys, Stephen Crichton for Canterbury, Bronson Cherry. The best of them was Tom Chester. What speed he has. And the North Queensland centre joins us online. G'day, Tom. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you going?
Excellent, mate. That would have been a happy flight after last night.
Yeah, we just got home now. I'm just heading home. So it was a good flight. It's a long day heading home from Sydney back to Townsville. But, it was good to get the win.
A lot longer if you haven't won. But a couple of times now recently we've called you games in Sydney and you've had reasonably convincing wins. So for a team that started, you know, average, to say the least, all of a sudden you've won, what, 5 out of 6? The confidence must be getting higher.
Yeah, definitely, mate. We definitely didn't start the year the way we wanted to, but I think we've won the last 6 out of 7 games. So we're starting to put some good footy together, and I think we just need to focus on staying consistent and, getting some more wins.
Yeah, well played last night. Tommy, when you guys are in open space or you get on the front foot, you guys are so dynamic. How pleasing is it to watch when you guys are in full flight?
Yeah, mate, I'm surrounded by some pretty good footy players with, Drinky, Cliffo and Tommy Dearden, steering the ship. And once they're playing some good footy and putting us on the front foot, they put us in spaces and things are happening at the moment. So it's been good.
Tom, obviously, mate, you are playing outstanding football, but talk me through today. Obviously, a long day for you guys. Did you do a recovery today? What's the geo of you guys tomorrow? You get the day off. How's it work when you're playing Sydney?
Yeah, so we do recovery and our review this morning at Sydney and then fly back today. Got back at 5 and then day off tomorrow and then back on deck on Monday training. So,
yeah, nice. And how is that the same sort of setup when you're at home? Do you do the same sort of setup, do everything straight away the next day, then have another day off after that?
It's all different with our turnarounds and stuff like that. Normally a 7-day turn is pretty similar to what we got this week. But sometimes when you got a 6-day turnaround, it's pretty, we get a couple of days off to freshen up and stuff like that. So, yeah, it all depends on, what sort of turnaround we got.
Mate, and obviously, Scotty Drinkwater's playing some outstanding football. And, mate, he's all looking good playing together. But he's now decided to leave the club. How was that when you found out that he was leaving?
Yeah, look, obviously disappointing. I obviously haven't played for the last couple of years. And, finally get to play with him. I'm loving the opportunity to play with him, so it's been really good. But when I first found out, I was obviously disappointed, but he's got to look after himself, and all the best to Drinky. He's a bloody good fella and good footy player.
Your speed, Tom, stands out every time we watch you guys. Is there someone that takes you on a training? Who is quicker than you, anyone?
Yeah, Jacko Purdue. He's got the wheels, the big fella.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in open space, he's the fastest in the club. Yeah, he's a beast.
And going on speed, what about fitness? Who's the guy to beat there? Is it still Tommy Dearden?
Yeah, Tommy Dearden. I broke the record at the start of the year, then he come back and beat me by 10 seconds. So
you're kidding. What did you end up getting?
I think I got a 4.20 something, 22, and then he got a 4.16.
Now, for gibberers like me, they're just numbers. It's like an HSC score. What are you talking about?
Oh, the boys do a challenge called the Bronco, and it's like 20, 40, 60, and you have to do 5 laps. It's 1.2K, and you've got a certain everyone has a certain time to get it under. But the time that Tommy just spoke about, that is ridiculous. Like, I didn't get anywhere near that. And now Tommy did, and breaking it even more, which is the numbers we're talking about here is outrageous.
Right.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're freaks.
Okay, well, you can take that, Tommy. You can be second if it's freakish kind of numbers like that.
Yes, behind Tommy Dearden's not too bad.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the probably less on the speed scale, but Jason Taumalolo, last few weeks in particular, he seems like he's really changing the course of games. Have you noticed anything different from him?
Nah, not too much, mate, but, playing off the back of the forwards at the moment and the way Jace is playing is probably why we're winning games of footy. Tom McKayley, Griff Meem, Hesse, they're all playing some good footy, and it's making the backs look pretty good.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about Tom McCauley in our call last night. He's in career best form. He looks like he's as fit and strong as he's ever been.
Yeah, he had a really good preseason, Tommy, and he's paying that forward now. So he's absolutely killing. I love playing off him. He's a good fella, and he's killing it.
Well, your next game is back at home at Townsville Stadium on Friday night, the late game against Parramatta. We're about to call Parramatta here against the Warriors. Who wins this one, Eels or Warriors?
Warriors. I'll go the Wars.
You sound about as confident with your tips as all of us.
Hey, yeah.
Tommy, great to watch you play so well this year at right centre for North Queensland. Keep it going, mate. Keep going with those high 400-plus scores, whatever that is, at training, and beat Tom Dearden again. And we'll catch you very soon. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, boys. Thank you.
Tom Chester, very impressive centre for the North Queensland Cowboys. He had a blinder last night.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.